Luke chapter 16, we'll start reading in verse 19. Luke chapter 16, we'll start reading in verse 19. Before we do that, I'd like to sign reading. Raise your hand as you take a verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. Rebecca. I'll call for that later, Rebecca. Matthew 13, 49 and 50. Jerry Sharon. Matthew 25, 41. My Sharon. 2 Peter 3, 9, Amy. Hebrews 9:27, Jen. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, Stephen. When I get to those, I'll call for those. Matthew 13, 49 and 50. Matthew 13, 49 and 50. If you're like me, it's better to trust a short pencil than a long memory. I heard that many years ago in college. Many years ago. Lesson 4, hell is a real place. Where real people go. Hell is a real place. At the end of every Christless life is hell. At the end of every Christless life is hell. Luke 16, we'll start reading in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look into your word today, Lord, a truth that many of us have known for many years, and yet for others, Lord, something new. The reality of man in hell. Lord, as we read this account of Jesus Christ himself, that Jesus Christ himself gave to us, might we understand a little bit of what hell is. Then maybe it'll be more important to us in our lives and the lives of those around us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart here today. I pray that your Spirit would have free reign and free course in your word today in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hell, a real place, real people. This is a real man in hell. He saw, he could reason, he had the ability to reason, he had the ability to understand that he was now here forever. He could feel the pain. His tongue was Kelly's not here. His tongue was dry. Send Lazarus, dip the tip of his finger water, cool my tongue. This is a real man. This is a real man in hell. This isn't some floating spirit somewhere. This is a real person. He had a real body. It could feel. It could reason. It could understand. It could do all those things. Hell is a real place. It's a real place. In our lessons, there are times in the Bible when the Lord pulls back the curtain and allows us to look into a world beyond. Is there really a place of torment beyond this world? Do people really go there? In John 20:31, we have the eyewitness accounts. We have that these are written that ye might believe. Written down, eyewitnesses, that indeed Christ rose from the dead, that indeed Christ was a man, that he died, that he rose from the dead. He was seen of them personally after that. These are eyewitnesses' account of the resurrection. Jesus Christ didn't die on the earth or die on the cross for no reason. He died on the cross. Why? Because there was a real hell. That's why Christ died. Because there was a real hell. Verse 31, he says there, let's read it with me. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now here in this text, it's Lazarus that they were talking about rising from the dead. But we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The world has that testimony written down. And yet what does the world do with him? They just reject him. Doesn't matter. It's a historical fact. It's very plainly known. And they still reject him today. Just as the Lord said to the rich man, they won't believe. Mankind today still does not believe. We have to tell them. We have to tell them of a place called hell. Again, reading in our lessons. The Lord talked about a rich man who died and went to hell. In verse 28, the rich man called the place where he had gone for eternity this place of torment. Read 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Adam's sin was passed to each of us. The curse of Adam's sin was passed to each of us. Wherefore, as in Adam, all die. We all died in Adam. Therefore, in Christ, we can all be made alive. In our lessons, every human being is stillborn spiritually. Every human being is stillborn spiritually. We are born dead. We are born dead in our sins. We're born dead. We're spiritually dead. Spiritual death means to be separated from God, to be separated from God. Excuse me. I don't know how my mouth can get so dry, but it does. To be separated from God in life means that when we physically die and are separated from our bodies, we will be separated from God forever. It's not pleasant to talk about going to hell, sending someone to hell, someone, mankind being in hell. But God's word is true. God wants us to know that hell is a real place. Fear. Probably one of the most widely used motivators in the world. Fear. The policeman uses it with his signs along the road. 45 miles an hour. You don't get that? I got a speed trap set up for you. And he'll even tell you ahead of time. Speed zone ahead. Fear. You break that speed limit, he's going to be writing you out a ticket. You're going to pay money. Your insurance is going to go up, and you're going to go to school. Fear. It's a motivator. Parents, do we use fear? Yeah, we do. Mr. Dravid says, you do that again, and we're going to go around and around and around. That's her famous saying that she says to the kids. You do that again, and you and I are going to go round and round and round. That's fear. You want to go round and round with mom? No, certainly not. No, certainly not. The love of Christ is another motivator. Our love for him. The problem is we're so frail. We start out strong. Yes, Lord, we love you. Yes, I want to do right. And then we fall. The reality is that Christ's love for us is the best hope that we have. Not just our love for him, but Christ's love for us. Reading in our lesson, the proof of this place of torment is given to us in scriptures. The Bible teaches that there are only two places beyond this world where people go. One is heaven and the other is hell. The Bible is our only source of information about hell. In Luke 16:24, the rich man said that I am tormented in this flame, a real place. In Matthew 13:49-50, And the next verse. Man, the angel's going to come and going to separate the saved and the unsaved. And the unsaved are going where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That was Matthew 13:49-50. Christ said this place is a furnace of fire where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then Matthew 25:41. Matthew 25:41. Amen. Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There is a real place of torment, and the Bible calls it hell. There's nothing pleasant about it. It is a place of no kindness, no friends, no smiles. It's a horrible place of fire and torment. People go to this place. People. We read in the Bible about the devil and his angels being cast into hell. But we also read that people go to hell. We do not desire for this to happen, neither does God. The Bible says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I just did your verse, 2 Peter 3:9. I think I just read that anyway in case I didn't say it all. 2 Peter 3:9. Not willing that any should perish, but that all. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any, not any, should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every human being has been created for eternity and is either going to heaven or hell for eternity. Again, in your lessons, in the account given in Luke chapter 16, both the rich man and Lazarus died, but the rich man went to hell. Hebrews 9:27 says,
and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, judgment.
Man has an appointment with death. Every man has an appointment with death. Whether he believes it or not, he has an appointment with death, and that appointment will take place. And after death comes the judgment. Life is so uncertain. Death can come so suddenly, and untold millions are dying and going to hell. Make sure that heaven is your home. Make sure that you are saved here today. Make sure that your sins have been forgiven. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, please see me right after we're done here, and we'll get in a room and we'll sit down with God's Bible, God's Word, and I'll show you how you can be saved, what Christ has done for you, and that he is indeed willing to save you. Following in your lesson, provisions have been made to escape this place of torment and go to heaven. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This was Christ's ministry, the greatest evidence that there is a real hell for which to save the souls of men is what God did in giving his only Son to save us all from hell. Why did Jesus go to Calvary and die? Because there was a hell. Because mankind needed salvation. 36 years ago, I pulled into a gas station. There was a young man standing there with a flat tire. That night, I helped him change his tire. And before we were gone, I had gotten him to pray the sinner's prayer. He came to Bible college. Couldn't quite make it. Just couldn't make it. Couldn't submit. Couldn't come under the rules. And he just didn't make it. Dropped out. I think he was in a lot of powers that he shouldn't have been in. He called me from jail a number of years later. I guess he was one of my converts, not one of the Lord's. He called me from jail, said, "Will you come see me?" And I went to see him. And the Christ that I had introduced him to, the seed must not have gotten root, because he just didn't get it. He cursed God with me standing there. I've never heard a man curse God. I've heard people use God's name in vain. I've never seen a man curse God. He cursed God that day. And he said, "What kind of God would send a man to hell?" And I said, "Dave, you know better." I said, "You know better." I said, "When you go to hell, you may think hell's an easy place to get to. And it is. Just continue in the wrong way, and you'll wind up there. But there's one major roadblock that I told him you trampling on." I said, "And that's literally over Christ's dead body. Over Christ's dead body. You'll trample Christ's dead body into the ground when you go to hell." I said, "God will not send you there. You'll send yourself. And it'll be over the dead body of Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ made a way for salvation. He died on the cross. The way is plain. The way is clear. There's no other way to get across that gap. We see a gap in Luke 16. There's a great gulf fixed. There's a great gulf fixed between man, lost man, and heaven. And there's no way to make up that gap except the cross, except the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. I told Dave when he said, "Who is God? What kind of a loving God would send a man to hell?" I said, "A loving God sent a Savior so you didn't have to go to hell. But you've made a decision. You've made a decision to trample on Jesus Christ's body. You made that decision. God provided a way." Reading in our lessons, why was he beaten, mocked of men, forsaken by God? Because there is a real hell. God made it possible that we can be saved from going there by faith in Christ. Many people who know the Lord are wasting their lives by substituting good things for the best. Romans 10:14. No, I'm sorry, Romans 10:13-14. Did I not give that? Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. Romans 10:13-14. Romans 10:13-14. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You and I have to go. You and I have to go tell them. The Bible tells us that our gospel is hid. It's hid from them that are lost because the God of this world has blinded their minds. You and I have to take God's word to them. We got to show them that Jesus Christ came to earth, died, was resurrected, that the witnesses are there. We have the witness of his account that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that he rose victorious over death and hell and sin and the grave, and that folks can be saved. We've got to take them God's word. We can take it to them in the Bible. We can take it. They can see it in our lives. The gospel tracts. Pastor's got many gospel tracts all over this building. Take a track and open it to your loved ones, to your friends. Hell is a real place. Dave Smith will be in hell unless something changes. He'll be there. He's heard the gospel presentation plainly. The seed was planted, but apparently it didn't take root. Unless the grace of God intervened in his life, he'll be in hell someday. Our friends, our family, our loved ones, they need a Savior. We've got a Savior. At the end of every Christless life is hell. We've got to take Jesus Christ to them. And then closing in Revelation 20:14-15. Revelation 20:14-15. Turn with me if you would. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Father in heaven, there's a hell waiting out there for all man that rejects Christ. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, pray that you Lord, give us the nerves or whatever it is that continues to stop us from telling people about their most important thing in their life. Lord, if we were driving down the road and there was a bridge out, we'd get out of our cars and we'd stand there and wave our arms to stop people from going over the bridge. But Lord, for some reason when it comes to hell and heaven, we get shy, we get nervous. We get tongue twisted, we get whatever, and we don't tell them. Lord, might we believe today, might we really believe that there's a real hell that real people are going to. Lord, I thank you for these folks. I'm thankful, Lord, for their faithfulness here. Pray for Pastor as he travels. Keep him safe as you bring him over here. We pray again that your Holy Spirit would use your word and that it would reach its mark in our hearts and in our lives, that we might be what we ought to be for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.